What makes a law firm? It's about passion, knowledge, understanding, and service. That's what defines Fluxmans. In this podcast series, we take you behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest legal minds. Jonathan Shafir is a commercial and civil litigation expert. He's also in insolvency and business rescue at Fluxmans. It's a pleasure to meet you. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm good.
Good. How is the world of insolvency and business rescue?
Wonderful.
Is the economy conducive to your work at the moment?
Sadly, it is.
Yeah.
But the problem is sometimes you're on the other end, you know, so you are trying to bat away people that want their money.
Right.
And that's not a pleasant experience.
Which side do you prefer being on?
I prefer chasing the money because then I'm acting for the good guys.
Right.
The other side is not as pleasant because you're making promises that you hope and pray your client will fulfill, but you don't know.
Right.
And that's a less pleasant place to be in.
This is the kind of stuff that people have in their heads when they think of lawyers being aggressive and hostile. And this is the stuff that you get sometimes involved in, right? And it can get very ugly.
Well, the bottom line is that people get upset when you ask them to pay a debt that they owe.
I mean, how unreasonable.
It's exactly like that. It's like, I don't understand. Why is he being so vicious and aggressive? You know, it could be possibly related to the money that you haven't paid him. You know?
How about if you just paid, we wouldn't have the situation.
No, but, okay,
but by the time they come to you, it's fairly desperate because they've obviously tried to resolve it amicably between the parties. So when they come to a lawyer, it clearly means business.
Yes, I mean, the idea is everyone knows that law is expensive. So most of the time people try and deal with it on their own.
Right.
And when it drags out and the person starts ducking and diving, that's when you realize that they're not going to pay you, and that's when you know you need an attorney, otherwise you're not going to get paid.
So what's the most fun part of that for you?
Well, it's not so much the debt collecting. It's other kinds of matters are more fun. So, I mean, debt collecting is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are matters where there's, let's just say, an investigative aspect to it.
Oh, yeah.
Often you have disputes between partners in a company and someone has been stealing.
Uh-huh.
But they've been stealing creatively. And it's interesting to look at the bank statements, to look at the books of account, try and work out what this person has done. How have they done it, and then to try and sort of confront them with that and use that to your client's advantage.
You become like the financial FBI in a way, right?
Well, I'm not an accountant, so you often need an accountant to guide you, but you know you get a feel for how it works. And what's fascinating is to sort of follow that trail of what they've done, where the money came from, where it went to, what has he done with it, to try pick at his excuses, to try and explain what he's done.
And sometimes it's exciting.
It's exciting when you discover something that, like the smoking gun. Then it's nice. Then it's great, yeah.
And when you win.
Yeah, it's great when you win. Winning is wonderful. Losing, not so much.
No. But you have to kind of be okay with losing because it happens every now and then, no matter how good a lawyer you are.
Yeah, every lawyer loses. That's just a fact of life. In every case, there was a loser. So, and I'm sure that lawyer told his client that he had a good case, but he lost. So, and there could be a million reasons for losing.
It's amazing when you're a lawyer, you have insight into people's lives and their behavior in a way that sometimes they don't necessarily want anyone else to know. You get to see behind the veil in business, for example. You get to see what people are really like when they're in their office and what kind of deals they're doing.
When they're under pressure and they're unhappy as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a bit of a psychological experiment, huh?
That's why this job is fascinating, because you get a little insight into a whole wide range of people's lives. So, like, you sort of come into their life for a bit, or sometimes not for a bit, sometimes for a couple of years.
Right.
And you get to – it's mostly business-related. No, you're not necessarily get to see into their personal life, but you get to see into their business, what they do, how it runs, and you get glimpses of the personal life as well.
What's it like at Fluxmans? You've been here for your whole career, and you're not the only one.
Yeah.
We've spoken to a few people who've been here from articles right the way through.
Yeah, as I said, I refuse to leave, you know.
Have they tried?
So many times, you know. That,
and they just weren't...
At first they asked me nicely, you know, then it got a little bit more...
You're uncooperative.
...insistent, and just every day, I show up, I sit down in my office, I start working, and...
You're driving them mad.
It works.
They keep you on board.
You know, but eventually they gave up. They just
said, there must be something about this place, because there are a lot of people who have been here from the moment they walked in and started doing articles and until the present, some of them for 20-plus years.
Well, there's an active attempt to foster a culture of acceptance, of sort of freedom, of sort of a family type of feeling.
Yeah.
And... it's not as corporate. I mean, the clients are corporate clients, but the atmosphere is not as corporate as you might expect. I mean, it's a bit more of a, you know, they let you do your own thing, give you room to manage yourself, provided that at the end of the day, you know, you deliver the goods.
How do you think that differs from the big firms that make a lot more noise and maybe don't get that culture right?
The sense that I get... you know, I haven't worked there, so I can't say for sure, but the sense that I get that you are possibly micromanaged, that you have to account for sort of every 3 minutes of your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you went to the bathroom or you went for a cigarette, you have to give a detailed description of that and bill for it as well.
That's what I've heard too. So it's,
and,
if we both heard that, it can't be wrong.
Yeah, maybe I might be exaggerating, but that's the sense I get, just to make the point. And the other thing is, I have a feeling that the fee pressure is bigger. And I don't want to be out of line, but it might create a sort of an obligation on you to try and increase your fees and charge people quite a lot.
Yeah. And you don't need lawyers with those kinds of reputations.
Well, I think they have that reputation. And if you see the bills, then you know you can understand
it's true.
Why.
Yeah.
But that's one aspect of that. I think there's a lot of pressure there to achieve targets.
Sure.
And those targets are quite high, and then that's maybe passed on to the client.
What do you like the most about being able to account for your own time, being able to come in and out, do your work, make sure that everything that you've got to do, you get done without being micromanaged? I mean, that must make a huge difference.
It makes your life flexible. So, I mean... Yeah. You know, the things that you want to do, that you have to do, like family related, then you can do them without worrying.
No one questions.
No one is watching. You can come in whenever you want, leave whenever you want. But what you find is that people impose their own discipline on themselves. So I'll often work late. No one is watching me. No one knows that I'm here. I'll just do it because I want to finish the work.
Now, if you've got work to do, that's interesting because some people like to take their stuff home. Do you keep a line between the office and home?
I'm just not capable of working at home.
Uh-huh.
I've tried it
once
or twice.
Too many distractions?
And then it usually ends up with Netflix.
And then law loses.
Yeah, so it's just I just don't have that mindset to work at home, so I'd rather stay at the office. Also, you're surrounded by all the things that you need. You don't have to schlep all the files and everything is here, so I'd rather just do it, yeah.
And how do you relax when you have a little bit of time off, maybe on weekends or when you do get home from a busy day and you don't have work to do? How do you relax? What do you do for hobbies, for fun?
Yeah, hobbies, I play guitar. I'm learning to play guitar.
I'm not going to judge.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Don't
panic.
I'll send you my demo.
Maybe
you can do something for me. You know, maybe
what do we got going on at the moment? Have we got a little... Stairway to Heaven, what are we playing with?
We're sort of playing like blues, improvising. Oh, you know, I'll put on a track, I'll improvise to it.
Fairly advanced.
In a way, but I mean, I'm also doing like a formal course. It's through Trinity College in London.
All right.
So
You're not messing around?
No, I'm trying to. Yeah. What I've done for years is mess around. And now
you're taking it seriously.
And now I'm trying to actually like formally sit down and learn it, you know.
Okay, what else?
For exercise, I like to do boxing in the mornings, but you're saying after work, sort of relaxing.
Well, exercise, boxing, I mean, that's interesting too.
Yeah, that's more of a fitness thing. I'm not going to go for any titles anytime soon.
No,
although I'd like to think that I would win it, but...
Yeah, Like you, with all the cases.
In
like
my own mind, I'm sort of
you're
a world
you're,
champion.
You're probably better than I would ever be. So take that from me. Now, do you do this meditation thing? I've heard you do.
Yes, I use an app.
Okay. Does it work?
Absolutely.
Headspace.
Yeah. Now I can't claim to be a master, but it's really really excellent. It's really helpful in relaxation, focus, and sort of getting to know yourself without the noise. You know, there's a lot of background noise in your head at all times. I don't know if you may actually spend like months or years with that background noise in your head without ever like stepping out of it and just looking at it from afar. So you're always in it, you're like swimming around in it, and you let it take you wherever it wants to take you.
I feel like I'm in therapy now because there's so much noise in my head I can hardly hear you.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, Gareth?
terrible, John. Listen, what about...
Tell me more about it.
What about the honest truth? I mean, a lot of lawyers know that it's a very bad idea to date other lawyers. I mean, what's the situation in a firm like this? Yeah, any firm, really. But lawyers shouldn't really try to mix work and pleasure.
I don't know about that.
Have you dated lawyers?
I have dated lawyers, yeah.
Is it more or less pleasant than people who are not in the law?
I think it's the same. It's just that you can discuss law. That's the only difference. I don't think there's much of a difference.
Do you want to discuss law with your partner?
You don't want to, but if they're going through some stress that's law-related, they can at least convey it to you and you understand what the stress is. You know, whereas I think if you have a partner who's nowhere near law, you can't you can't explain to them why you're stressed or upset or...
Do you have a standard answer for people who ask for free legal advice?
I usually try and give an answer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice of you. Most people wouldn't.
I'm also just generally, I'm naturally curious. So if you start telling me a story about some issue that you had, it might be a small issue, it might be a big issue. I'm just curious. I want to know what it's about, what happened. I don't want to have like a 3-year then ongoing like relationship with you, but I'm interested to know what your story is, you know? So, you know, you always learn interesting things from anyone that you talk to. So you pick up something from any conversation that you have.
Well, talking about that curiosity of yours, I know that you said you've got a new interest in anti-corruption law, and particularly the anti-corruption law in the U.S. But, I mean, there's fertile ground in South Africa at the moment. You've been watching what's going on in the news.
I don't know what you mean.
There's nothing going on in the news.
No, South Africa is relatively corruption-free.
Yeah,
yes.
So in other words, it's a good thing then that you're in commercial and civil litigation.
Yeah, it barely comes up. I haven't heard of many incidents. But I'm not aware of anything.
All right, but seriously, it is fascinating. And do we have anti-corruption laws, and are they enforceable? Is the NPA sitting on their hands? I mean, what's going on here?
You know what? Our main piece of legislation, which is the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act, is actually it's an excellent piece of legislation. It's very thorough.
Is it sitting on a shelf? Has nobody looked at it for 4 years?
It's similar to other things that just hasn't been. It's not implemented probably for political reasons.
Why do you say it's good legislation?
If you, it's very thorough. It covers everything. It goes into a lot of detail. You'd actually be surprised at how wide the offense of corruption is. It goes much further than paying a politician. It goes much further than that. There are all kinds of scenarios that you wouldn't think are corruption and fall under that definition. There's also, there's all kinds of very useful things in there. There's a provision for a lifestyle audit. Mm-hmm. Which I don't think many people are aware of, but
that's interesting.
Yeah. Now the question is, I don't understand why they don't use that.
Yeah.
Because there's a provision where you can go to a judge and ask for an order for someone's lifestyle to be audited to see if they are living beyond their means and why, where that money came from. So there's a lot of prime candidates for that, but it's just probably the resources aren't there to do it.
Listen. I mean, if you're looking for an area of law to expand into, this is very good territory.
But the problem is that law is solely falls under the NPA.
Yeah.
It's not something that private people Well, maybe there is an angle where you can pursue it through a private prosecution.
But then
that's a hell of a difficult.
They have to release it, basically.
Yeah, and what they might do is they might sit in it and not release it, but at the same time not follow through. But it falls under the sort of under the power of the NPA, and you just have to hope that the NPA uses the tools that are available, because the tools are all there.
Okay. Well, in some way that's comforting, because I haven't heard anyone standing up for our anti-corruption legislation before. So you've taught me a lot, and I hope.
I think on paper it's excellent. It's just the problem is it sits on paper.
So. Well, I hope one day that this is something you can get your teeth into. It certainly sounds like you want to.
Well, the difficulty is that it's a prosecutorial thing. It's not really a private thing. But if you understand the law, then in commercial cases, that kind of activity comes up quite often. So you can maybe identify corruption when you see it and identify that that's a crime that's been committed, and then use that for purposes of a commercial case.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan, pleasure to talk to you, and thank you very much for sharing some of your story with us. I hope that you continue to have a very good time here at Fluxmans, and that none of your colleagues give you any uphill.
Well, yeah, that can't be guaranteed. But thanks very much. It was a pleasure.
Nice to talk to you.
You've been listening to Fluxmans Attorneys for the Love of Law. For more information, go to fluxmans.com.